Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity, going to live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com and the program and products click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me have the one and only Coach Sam Perrier from Howard University. How you doing, sir?
Hey, how you doing, Tommy?
Good to see you, my good friend. We've been friends for almost a decade now. I'm glad to see you doing your thing, brother. How's everything going?
Things are great, man. I honestly can't complain. I'm still, like we both started this journey, but I'm still trying to touch and save lives, man.
Trying to make a difference. I love it. Sam, for the folks who don't know you out there, can you just briefly introduce yourself for us, please, Coach?
Yeah, my name is Sam Perrier. I mean, I'm originally from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I've been coaching now at Howard for 13 months. I've been in this golf game for over 25 years. Wow. At some really big schools, at Stanford, Michigan State, I've done Queens, and now Howard. And so for me, it's pretty exciting to still have a chance to try to, you know, develop that legacy of really working with young people, trying to help some of their dreams come true.
Man, I love it. And folks out there, this is one amazing guy. We've been, like I said, been friends for nearly a decade now. I love his energy, his passion for making a difference with our young people. And he is leading the charge in a sport that I'm struggling to learn, golf. So I'm going to make sure I'm tapping him, man, for some more techniques as I'm going along as well, though. So again, brother, I appreciate you. Sam, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, the easiest way is just to go to my email, Samuel Perrier@howard.edu.
Awesome. And what's the name of your book out there if people can follow and get that book as well? Tell us where you get
it. Sure. Thank you. Yeah, the book is called Diamonds in the Rough, and it's a unique story about four students that we dealt with down in Atlanta at a place called Eastlake, which some of these students came out of some of the most tumultuous situations ever, but turned out to just be some amazing human beings and went off and got college degrees and have families of their own now. And they're doing well. And basically they were able to break the chain, break the cycle, and create their own new roots and develop that going forward.
Yes, I love it. And again, kudos to you and your staff, man, for really kind of developing these young people to help them be successful. So Sam, as you know, our podcast focuses on bringing amazing people like you on and having you kind of talk us through some of your most tough, difficult moments, because a lot of our listeners are either going through tough times, have been through tough times, or will be going through tough times in the future and need to have the blueprint in terms of how to get up out of it, though. So I'm going to start with my first question. What's been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome personally or professionally in your life?
I think number one, when you're trying to work with young people, the initial biggest obstacle is always trust, because those families have to trust you before they can let you work with their greatest asset. Yeah. And their greatest asset is their students, their child.
Absolutely.
So just going through that perspective on that end has always been very difficult. And then I would say the second biggest obstacle has always been going out to get funding to support those folks' assets.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of times people never want to be first in donating or giving money to help a cause. They want to be bandwagon folk. They want to see it rolling and jump on instead of being the first to build the wheels and placing the screws in the wheels.
Yeah. And you know, that's an important point you brought up there. And I appreciate you being transparent about this, because you're leading a golf program at a historically Black college that has not traditionally done well in golf.
Right.
So talk to us about when you came on board 13 months ago. So I know you have a big star that's kind of supporting your effort now, though. But in the beginning, though, it was you, right?
Yeah, I tell you, Steph Curry, I mean, Steph Curry gets all the credit for this, because a student on a team who just graduated last week, a student on a team at a movie hearing on campus about the church in South Carolina where the people were murdered. Steph came to show a documentary. The student basically cornered him on the way out of the door and said, hey, we need a golf program. I know you love golf.
Yeah.
Steph exchanged information with the student and listened to the student's story, and they went back and forth. And Steph said, hey, I believe in your vision. I actually think you're right. Howard would be a great place for a golf program. So without Steph's input, belief, vision, foresight, you wouldn't have a golf program at Howard.
Yes. That is phenomenal. And kudos to Steph Curry, man, for stepping up to the plate and leading that effort as well. And you have been charged with guiding these young people at the helm. So what are some of the challenges you have faced, you know, getting this new program off the ground at Howard University? You've only been there 13 months now. What are some of the biggest challenges you faced so far?
Well, the biggest challenge was there was no program, literally. So I had to come in, and it's like building Legos. You have to come in, you have to find places to practice, raise money,
yeah,
solidify equipment deals, solidify tournaments, get people in the region to trust that you're trying to do the right thing with a program. You're not creating a babysitting service.
Yes.
Putting all that in place is that's a lot of gray hair.
Yes.
You can see I got a lot of gray hair in my goatee. I can promise you it's a lot more gray hair coming. But it was good because at that point, we've now gotten things in place where it's running like an engine right now.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and that's another great point because, again, you talk about 13 months later, though. But in those beginning phases, talk to us about some of the emotions that kind of came along with when you have a superstar supporting your program. You have a new program. You're in a city and a school that's traditionally been favored football, maybe some basketball, some of the other sports. And your sport is not the go-to sport. What are some of the feelings and emotions that kind of come along with having to lead such an effort?
Yeah, I tell you, for me, the biggest joy in the whole process is when I talk to Stefan on the phone and we talk and we text, he gets it.
Okay, good.
Here's a guy that's arguably one of the best players on the planet right now in his respective sport, one of the most recognizable athletes in the world.
Yes.
He understands when I talk to him about the nutritional aspect or what the guys need and girls need as it relates to training and course access and technology. He understands. He gets it.
Yeah.
And so when you're talking to somebody like that and then his team, the team around him, the people around him are phenomenal.
Yeah.
When they get it. And so for me, it makes it easy because I can say, hey, guys, this is what I'm thinking. I know this is what I need. And they understand. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of, well, do you really need a track man to get better? They know you need a track man to get better for the players.
Yes.
Do you really need 3 pair of golf shoes? They know you need the golf shoes because they know you're going to get crazy weather, your conditions change, how you wear shoes out, the whole 9 yards.
Yes.
They know you need the equipment. The equipment adjustments and the support doing that type thing. So when you have a guy like that supporting you, it makes everything else flow.
Yes. That is awesome. And again, like I said before, you know, shout out to Steph Curry and his team as well. You know, so as you've been going through this program of building this new sports program at the, at Howard University, have you had guides or what's been the support like from administration and others on campus?
Well, I think at the end of the day, the administration, I mean, realistically didn't know what they didn't know. Mm-hmm. So they basically said, hey, coach, we trust you. We'll get on board. We'll follow your lead. You build it. We'll try to make it happen.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
And so for that being the case, it's kind of where we are.
Yeah.
I'll say, hey, we need to do this. And they may ask me some questions and then they realize, okay, we need to do it.
Sure.
When we travel to tournaments, they know I like to eat a certain way, stay a certain way. Like I refuse to buy students on the team pop or soda at dinners. I mean, to me, I just think there's a way you have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way you have to train.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, the administration is behind me in supporting that endeavor.
That is beautiful, man. And again, shout out to the administration there as well. So how would you say this last 13 months has kind of shaped you as a person?
Well, it has made me see things from a different perspective. I can tell you that because I've never had the opportunity to work with an HBCU. I've never had the opportunity to coach a team full of Black kids.
Sure.
So every night I lay down, I get an unbelievable feeling knowing that the students that I help look like me.
Yes.
And that's a great feeling.
Yes.
Because for the first time, I feel like I'm giving them the expertise, which I've been sharing with the world for the last 25 years.
Absolutely.
So it's a great feeling. And so the way we ended the season was like a storybook. I mean, the way one of my players finished was a storybook. The team had so much success in the spring. It literally surprised everybody.
Yes.
Everybody was shocked.
Yes.
But my philosophy to these students are, if you believe it, why can't we achieve it?
That's right. That's right.
You know, and so we put a lot of time, and I worked them pretty hard, and we put a lot of time in. And so every guy was able to improve. And it culminated with one of my players winning the PGA Works, which is the biggest HBCU minority tournament in the United States. And he's the national HBCU national champion. Wow. I mean, that's 10 weeks of work.
Yeah. What's his name?
Greg Odom.
Shout out to Greg Odom, man. Awesome, man. Congratulations on that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. So, I mean, for me, knowing where some of these students come from, knowing how much time and work they put into it, and seeing them, you know, I even asked Greg one day, after he won, I said, Greg, there's been once in my lifetime where I sat back after an event, and I said, I am the best. When I got a national championship at Stanford, I said, I can honestly say I am a part of the best of something. And I said to Greg, I said, Greg, can you imagine, after he won and we hugged and he cried, he lost his dad. I said, Greg, can you imagine? We're getting on a plane the next day going to Memphis for the funeral. I said, can you imagine when you look in the mirror now, you can say for today, you are the best.
Yes.
I said, in your lifetime, you should always strive to be the best at something.
That's right.
I said, whether you get older and you have a family, you want to be the best father, the best mentor, the best owner of a business, the best worker at a business, whatever your life chooses to be, it's great when you can say, I am the best.
Yes.
And I said, as long as you're striving for that, I said, life can hit you with whatever it wants, but it'll roll like water off a duck's back. It'll just keep flowing and you keep moving.
That's right. That's right. And I'm sure you're taking that advice. And you know, the other piece you mentioned there, your star player won a championship, but then lost his father, and you had to go to the funeral the next day, though.
Right.
How do you balance that as a coach as well, those highs and lows?
Because at the end of the day, my title at Howard says director of golf coach, but my life title is I'm a black man.
That's right.
And that's a black boy, and that's a village.
Yes.
In this village, we're all family.
Yes.
So as far as I'm concerned, it's what I had to do. It's what I was supposed to do.
That's right.
It's what I needed to do.
Yeah.
Because when people need to understand that although times have changed, we're all responsible. And I can say this to you, Doc, because you know my daughter.
Yes.
I know your daughter.
That's right.
And I know if my daughter came through your town, I know I could count on you. That's that village.
That's right.
And you know the same thing. That's that village.
That's right.
As I look at it like that, I know we're in a really good place. And I love the kid because, I mean, the kid exemplifies everything. Incredible opportunities and sometimes second chances.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, very fortunate to have a coach who gets it and understands that.
And not a second chance is if you messed up the first time, not at all.
Yes.
But a second chance sometimes just to reinvent yourself.
That's right.
And place opportunities in your path that are going to allow you to be great.
Yes.
And I feel like
That is so critical. And I'll say this piece as a former athlete, you know, having you as a coach extend yourself beyond just the avenue of being a coach is so important, so special to a lot of those young people out there as well. Because now you're not just being seen as a person who's going to be here for my collegiate career, but you're also going to be here as a human being as well.
Absolutely. I think we're at a place now where in this world, I think the respect will come from how we treat each other. I really believe that. Like, I really believe like that, like the man walking down the street, you may not know him, but you know him.
Yeah.
And you treat him with respect, even though you don't know him.
Absolutely.
And I actually think that's where we're going right now in the world. And I think the more of us can kind of model that behavior, I think the world just becomes a better place.
Absolutely. Now, Coach Sam, we're coming off of year 2020 where people have gone through some tough things, man. They've lost finances, lost loved ones, lost jobs, lost hope. What's your words of advice to let them folks know that a brighter day is to come?
Well, the way I look at it is no one is exempt from issues. And life has dealt us, and I'm a great example. Life has dealt us all some tough blows. I mean, you know, I had COVID, blessed, I got over it. I'm in shape. My dad just got diagnosed with prostate cancer 2 weeks ago, you know, and he's in early stages, and we're praying that that takes care of itself. I lost family members, but at the same time, I tell you what, my faith is strong, and I really believe in the way we're trekking through this world. The track at the end of the day is clean. We have to get tired muscles when we run. If you're not running, you won't get tired muscles.
Yes.
And I do feel like when we get to the finish line, those muscles might have been tired, but they would have gotten bigger and stronger, and which would allow more. And I just feel like that's where we're going in this world right
now. Yes. So very well said, Coach Sam. And I think that's going to be a blessing to a lot of folks out there that, you know, your tough times may seem bigger than what you think they are, but they're going to certainly be rewarding once you cross that finish line, you know, and coming from one of the top coaches in the country, with Coach Sam for saying that as well. So, coaches, we're going to wrap things up. I want to have you address two pieces that our podcast focuses on purpose and resiliency. What last words can you share with the audience around purpose and resiliency?
Well, I think it's great you said that, because I was taught, and again, I'll talk about this student, Greg, but I finally got him to see the things I say to he, to Greg and the rest of the team. I say this, I'm not exaggerating. We say this every single day. Even though the season is over, we talk, we say this every day. Trust the process, and we all have a purpose. I really believe that no one is walking around here without a reason and a purpose.
Right.
Number one, the resilience comes in once you get knocked down, because you're going to get knocked down. The definition is not what you do on the ground. It's what are you going to do once you get up? Because you are going to get knocked down. I promise you. So that being the case, you have to put, the way I look at it and the way I describe to my team is, our everyday existence means that all we're doing is adding pads to our clothing. We're adding knee pads, thigh pads, and you're a football guy, so you know what I'm talking about. We're adding butt pads. Yeah. So that when we get knocked down, it's not that hard of a fall.
That's right.
So every day we walk through life, we're adding some sort of padding to our body.
That's right.
And as I go through life, and as I talk to these students that I try to impact, I need them to understand that each day you have to create and stitch a new pad.
That's right.
Because the day is coming when you will get knocked down.
That's right.
But if you can only get up with a scraped knee or bruised, then you're okay. You'll never break.
That's right.
And that's how I look at it.
That's wild. Man, good advice, boy. My friend Sam Perrier, thank you very much, boy, for sharing that, Coach. And it's a blessing to see you. I love seeing you thrive, and I love seeing you doing that historically Black college where those kids really need you, probably more so than some of the other universities that you've been to. But I really appreciate that as well. Coach Sam, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you again?
I say the best way is to email me at samuel.perrier, samuel.perrier, P-U-R-Y-E-A-R, @howard.edu. That's the easiest way. I return emails all the time, and I'm very prompt. So if they want to reach me, reach out. If you have questions for your child, if it's some other different things, I mean, just please feel free to reach out via email.
And folks, I'll be a testament to how great of a guy Coach Sam Perrier is. He's a great guy. Reach out to him. He's an excellent father, great example of a man, somebody you can trust and you want to have in your corner with you as well. So folks out there, if you're someone, you have a story of resilience, we want to hear from you. please go to our website, tawatson.com, subscribe to our podcast, download this episode, share it with your folks on social media. For everyone out there, I want to thank you guys for joining me. Coach Sam Perrier, once again, thank you very much for joining me, brother. Everyone else out there, God bless, peace, and deuces.
Yours truly, thanks, Dr. Watson.